Kevin Weeks will be a part of the broadcast. He of ESPN joins us now from the Emerald City. Kevin, thank you very much for doing this today. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Yeah, thank you so much for the kind intro. It's been awesome. The buzz here is great, and I'm sure you can feel the echo in the Pacific Northwest here, since you know these are sister and brother cities between Van and Seattle here. So it's an exciting time for our league, our sport. Of course, the fans here in the Pacific Northwest, I think it's amazing. And all eyes of the world are going to be on Seattle later on this afternoon and into this evening. It'll be amazing.
So we have some listeners who are a little bit aggrieved that a lot of these picks are out there, that NHL insiders have been able to break some of this long before you guys actually get to air tonight. Is that a big deal in your mind?
I mean, many of those women and men and people are friends of mine, too, and they've got a job to do. I think, you know, there's always a balance that you can try to strive to hit. I think what was probably a little more disappointing is when we were filming at Pike Place with ESPN the other day, and some of the fans that were in attendance, and many of them not only here from Washington State, there were some, you know, from Sycamus, B.C. We had some from Sudbury, some from Switzerland, Japan, like literally fans from all over the world, really. And 99.9% of them were amazing. And then the one person tried to be a hero and leaked that video, in which case they had all agreed to the fact that they weren't going to leak any information. And, of course, you know, it always takes somebody to try to step up and be a clown in the classroom. And that was a little bit more disappointing to me, because a lot of that was done in good faith. And we want our fans to be such a huge part of the story, because, you know, the NHL fans around the world, not only here and in the region, but they're a huge part of the soundtrack. And we love what and appreciate them for what they bring to the table. So I thought that was bad form in that sense. But aside from that, you know, they have a job to do as far as the insiders go. Unfortunately, a lot of them were on fire today, if you will. And as I said, I'm friends with a lot of them. But all that to say, I think it still sets up for what's going to be a historic night, an iconic night, with what's soon to be an amazing franchise here in Seattle. And our fans will get a chance to not only see who the picks are, but get a flavor for who the people are, the men and women behind the scenes that are in this great organization.
Well, it's going to give us even more of a flavor of the organization as well. We see some of the star power that's going to be enlisted to help with the broadcast tonight. Jerry Bruckheimer's behind this. Seattle is sparing no expense. I know you're not going to reveal everything that's happening on the broadcast, but give us a little bit of the flavor as to what fans are going to see tonight.
Well, I like the way that you're able to preview that. You're spot on with that. I had a chance to sit down with the great Jerry Bruckheimer at dinner the other night. He's a part of their ownership group, for the fans that might not know. And in speaking to him, you know, I remember teammates of mine and guys that I played against literally the last 20 years and probably prior to that, that were playing in his celebrity game, his Jerry Bruckheimer celebrity charity game, hockey game in the summer, his little tournament that he had. And Jerry told me, he said, BC, listen, I've been endeavoring to buy an NHL team for 15 plus years. It's finally come together. And when you look at all the amazing movies and TV series he's done, some of his fingerprints will be on this in terms of the production, as you just alluded to. And it will be airing both on Sportsnet back home in Canada and here at home in the U.S. And on the global scale. So it's going to have a lot of that. The production value is going to be high. You mentioned the star power. There have been a lot of different stars from sports and entertainment and music that will be a part of it. And also just the anticipation, too, of the players that may or may not be attending, but the ones that I've spoken to, different people around the league. You know, there's different, you know, when you grow up playing this game, I've got friends literally all over the world, Switzerland, Sweden, Germany, Finland, Russia, that I played with as a kid playing minor hockey that, you know, they're all plugged in. They're like, we can't wait to watch it. We're going to tune in. We're pumped up. And so I just think it's a great time for our sport. And, you know, I've been bullish on this market for a long time. And this market, as I said, stretches up to the Pacific Northwest, north of us here, specifically in Van and greater D.C. and Oregon, Alaska, you name it. I just think this whole corridor has a huge passion for our sport and our game and our league. And it's nice to add another team to this area. It's going to be awesome.
Kevin, I know you've talked to quite a bit of the people within the Seattle organization. You've mentioned, you know, how close you are with Ron Francis. Now, Seattle did a ton of mock drafts leading up to this, hundreds plus, they said. And when they saw the production list that came out on Saturday, were there any big surprises? I mean, I guess Carey Price is a surprise to all of us. I don't know if that's a surprise to Ron Francis, but was there any surprises that names that were out there or maybe protected?
I think your native BC native from Anaheim Lake, BC, Carey Price, was the biggest surprise for me. I mean, you know, for what he's meant to that franchise, the most iconic franchise in our league, the winningest, most Stanley Cups in league history, the Montreal Canadiens, and to be one of the best goalies in their franchise history, I was shocked that he was left unprotected. And, you know, I was pretty actually bullish on Seattle selecting him. We'll see where that goes later today, but I was shocked by that one. That was the biggest shocker to me. Mm-hmm. But yes, you're right. They have run a lot of different mock draft models internally here with the Kraken Hockey Ops department and their analytical department, which, by the way, are very integrated. I've spoken to different people in their hockey ops group, their senior executive group, ownership group, and they've gone through hundreds of different mock drafts, which, you know, it speaks to their preparation. Of course, this is unique because you're doing mock drafts around becoming an expansion team. I know the excitement of being on an expansion team. I was drafted by an expansion franchise. They developed me. They gave me the opportunity to play in the league in the Florida Panthers. So these are really exciting times. They're really exciting times for their group internally, their fans, of course, and their soon-to-be players and their staff. There's such a buzz around Seattle. And as I said, I know a lot of the people up in BC have spent a lot of time here and vice versa. But it's a real exciting time. That October 23rd date against the Canucks, I think, is going to be amazing. And what's so cool about it, as you've heard me say on your show before, is anybody that's played this game knows that you don't weaponize sports against people. Sports are about people, and it's about bringing people together, unifying people. It's about families being at the rink or the baseball diamond or whatever the case may be. And families play it and live it and breathe it. So I think this just expands our NHL family by one other valued member, and now we're going to have 32 teams in the league.
I hadn't seen that anywhere, that the Canucks and Kraken would play on October 23rd. So you came on here and broke some news today for us.
It's been broken by other people, but that's my understanding as of now. So if I get it wrong, it wasn't me that got it wrong. I don't draft the schedule. That's my disclaimer. So, but that's the thought. So all that to be said, I just think it's really an exciting time. It really is, you know, for the people that have lived and traveled here and traveled in this area and been a part of it. I can tell you, like, this franchise is, they've spent over $2 billion to date, and it's counting. Between the arena, over $1 billion. I was in there yesterday with Todd Lywicki and Tim Lywicki of their group. It's the best arena I've ever been in the world yet, to date. Now, I know there's other new buildings that are being built, but to date, I literally went on an hour and 15-minute tour from event arena level with Tim Lywicki and Todd all the way up to the ground level, which is the roof level, and I was blown away. I literally was blown away. My suit was soaked, my dress shirt was soaked, and I didn't want the tour to end, so that's how impressed I was by it. And the practice facility is approaching $100 million, which can have three sheets for minor hockey, adult rec hockey, learn to play, full community center, state-of-the-art training facility for the community and also for the Kraken themselves. Their investment in this city and their partners, Amazon, Starbucks, and everybody else, Alaska Airlines, they've done an amazing job. Like, I really respect the business side because not everybody can play, and there are other ways where people can be great on the business and in the community, and they're hitting those high notes right now. I'm very impressed.
Kevin Weeks is not the NHL schedule maker. He is an NHL insider, former goaltender in the National Hockey League as well. With ESPN, will be a big part of the broadcast tonight. He joins us here today on Rintoul and Sermon. All right, you may have more insight to this than we do, but I get the sense that tomorrow when that trade freeze lifts and the roster freeze lifts, we're going to see some deals going down. Do you have that same sense that it's going to be fast and furious on Thursday?
Yeah, it's going to have to be. I mean, literally, the starting line, and once that starting whistle, if you will, goes off, or the face-off for to lift that trade moratorium, I think it's going to be fast and furious. A lot of teams, keep in mind, a lot of teams are going to have to figure out where they are at post-expansion, post-Stanley Cup playoffs. Now they'll get an idea of what the landscape looks like. Plus, the entry draft is literally within 2 days. I'm literally jumping on a red-eye plane out of Seattle, back home in New York and Jersey to be on TV tomorrow for the start of the preparation of the draft. And then, of course, the draft is on on the 23rd, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And a short window after, that's the first round, and the second round will be on the 24th. But I'll be working the first day and a lawyer on ESPN and also on Sportsnet back at home in Canada. And then 5 days from that is NHL free agency, and I'll be doing that for TSN. So every general manager that I've spoken to, players that are pending free agents, players that are just excited to see what's going on, agents, everybody in the business knows that this is about to get even crazier than it's been in this last 24 hours. So I think that makes it really exciting, though. It's exciting for all the fans, all the corporate partners. And I think when you can have a really good off season with a lot of movement, just like a good trade deadline, it just adds a shot of adrenaline into the arm of all of us that are a part of the game and the league and our fans and stuff. So I think it'll be sweet.
I know the actual business can't be done until tomorrow, but do you believe we're going to see side deals revealed throughout today, or are those not going to come to light until tomorrow, whether they're between Seattle to not take a player or that there was a side deal in place, hey, can you take that player, and then we'll work something afterwards?
Yeah, from my understanding, is I don't know that there are any of those right now. I don't know that there are any of those in place around the expansion right now to date at this press time right now, 10:44 Pacific time. could some of those evolve starting tomorrow? Perhaps. But I think in addition to that, other teams have to get their business affairs in order. Like, keep in mind, right, this has been such an unprecedented year. I've come on with you. You've been kind enough to have me on numerous times. And think of all the people that have been affected. You know, local businesses, big business, small business, mom and pop stores, you know, people in the employment sector, in different parts of it. And that hasn't, you know, our business hasn't gone unaffected as a league and as a sport. You know, this is unprecedented. So for some clubs, maybe their financials are a little more in order based on their ownership position. That might allow them to spend more. You look at what Montreal did last offseason. And I said right from then, and at the start of the year in the preview show on the NHL Network, that Montreal is going to be a serious team because they had a great offseason last year. And that's because their ownership was in a position to do that, and they made that commitment. So right now, coming out of COVID, where are teams? How are they positioned from a capital standpoint? What do they have available to spend on players and staff? What does that look like? Plus, the salary cap's flat at $81.5 million, too. The salary cap with a flat cap forces teams to have to make hard decisions, like Tampa, for example. Among others. So it sets up a lot of intrigue. I know one thing, you know, we always talk about the off season in the NFL. For those of you that are football fans, and presumably back there, a lot of them are Seahawks fans up in BC and in this region. But we always talk about the off season of football and how they keep the conversation going, even when the games aren't being played. And what I like about the evolution of our sport now is we're getting to that point now to where we have this flurry of activity. And, you know, fans are on their tablets, they're on their iPhones or whatever device they're on the computer, and everybody's just so engaged by what's happening and all the different movements. So I think it makes it way more exciting because the game doesn't stop when the final buzzer ends. It's 24/7 business.
Kevin, this was thrown out there by one of our listeners in the text message inbox and said, is Seattle maybe trying to do something to make a side deal splash to try and trade for Jack Eichel, number one center, and said maybe that second overall pick is in play. In talking to the organization, I don't know if you've got a sense, but do you think it's in play, or is it more important for them to get up to the podium, so to speak, on Friday and say, with the second overall pick, the first in Seattle Kraken's franchise, we select blah, blah, blah.
Good point. I mean, you know, I can go back to my draft year where some people were wondering that about my Florida Panthers too, which selected in that 93 draft that I was in. Our first selection was Rob Niedermeyer, who you all know very well, him and Scotty, and the amazing careers that they had. And, you know, they went to the podium with that pick. Fortunately, I was the second pick after that for them in the second round. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's something to be said about your inaugural draft pick in your inaugural year, you know? Like, that's pretty massive. And since I'm doing both the entry or expansion tonight and entry draft, I look at some of the players that are available in this entry draft, whether it's a Dylan Gunther from out west, whether it's Matty Beniers, who's playing college hockey at University of Michigan, or if it's his teammate from BC, Johnson, who's playing at the University of Michigan, who's also an electric player. There's no clear defined number two, but there are a lot of options, which makes it more intriguing. That being said, of course you got to listen to what's out there. I mean, hey, if there's a team, if it happens to be the Buffalo Sabres around Jack Eichel, yeah, of course you kind of have to listen to that. So the best part of being in a good position, and, you know, I was fortunate to play for great general managers, some that have passed on, but the great Glenn Sather, the great Lou Lamoriello, to name a few, the great Jimmy Rutherford. And the best part about options is when you have them, like Seattle does, it's always prudent to take your time and evaluate what's best on the table. And Seattle, starting with a zero balance sheet and their salary cap, which is huge, and they have the opportunity to look at the landscape and make what they feel are the best selections for them. So I would listen in on everything, and knowing them and having played with Ron Francis through GM, they're certainly going to do that. They'll listen in on everything.
Let's see how many first-round picks they have by Friday. There could be some deals go down tomorrow where Seattle selected multiple times. We look back at the Vegas draft after their expansion draft, and that's what we have to compare right now. Vegas did feel it was important to step up to the podium, and they did on three occasions. Cody Glass, then they took Nick Suzuki, then they took Eric Brandstrom. Every single one of those players has been traded by that organization already because the trajectory of their franchise was changed once they were way better than they expected. Vegas is sitting there in the weeds. They're the one team that doesn't lose a player tonight. We've already seen them make one deal with Nashville, and Philly was involved in that deal as well. How aggressive do you expect Vegas to be over the next 10 days?
I mean, if there's a great deal that's out there, for them that makes sense, they'll make it. Look, I worked that expansion. Actually, that was the NHL awards, and on the back end of the expansion draft started. I didn't work the expansion draft per se, but I was backstage interviewing, you know, some of the players, obviously Marc-Andre Fleury, Derek Englund, and probably more importantly, their owner, Bill Foley, who I've developed a great relationship with. And he told me then, we're going to be aggressive. We're going to be aggressive. People don't know this about me, but I lived in Canada. I spent time in Ottawa. I lived in Ottawa for a while. I know this game. I'm going to learn more about this game. I'm all in, and we want to win. We don't want a 10-year window here in Vegas. We don't want a 12. We want to win. And listen, you look at what they've done and how consistent they've been right from the outset and getting to the Cup Final in their inaugural year. And they're well-positioned, to your point, not only for the success that they've had to date, but with the commitment from him and the ownership group and also their management. And they're sitting because they're so good this quickly, and because they do have, you know, a lot of capital from their ownership group, they're watching. And I would expect them, and knowing them, they want to get better. And in speaking to them recently, they don't feel like these last 2 years were good enough. They felt like this was a window this year for them to win the Cup. They felt they had the team to do it. They weren't able to get over the hump to make that happen. And credit to what Montreal was able to do coming out of the North and beating them fair and square. And Vegas is foaming at the mouth right now. And I do know for a fact that you mentioned Jack Eichel earlier. That could be a potential landing spot for him. And I do know that there's a lot of interest from, certainly from Vegas, also from LA, because they have the best prospect pool in the league, and other clubs as well. So, yeah, the plot thickens. The plot thickens for sure.
It most certainly does. We know they're aggressive. We know they're creative. So nothing is out of the question when it comes to the Vegas Golden Knights. Colorado looks like they're going to lose Jonas Donskoy today. We've all been asking about Gabriel Landeskog, who, according to reports, didn't come to any type of agreement with the Seattle Kraken. Hey, maybe they circle back in free agency. If you're a betting man, where is Gabriel Landeskog playing next season?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, why I can't answer that definitively, here's a couple things that I can say. A, if I was running a club, I would certainly, and a lot of my thought process through some of my interviews with teams was about acquiring Gabe Landeskog. I've been bullish on him since he was in junior in Kitchener, left Sweden, came to the OHL, played for the Kitchener Rangers, was the captain, had an amazing time there, came to the NHL as an 18-year-old, spent some time with him, was blown away by his maturity, and I know his level of professionalism. So all that to say, I mean, if I'm a lot of clubs, I'm looking at Gabriel Landeskog. I mean, I don't know that Van can make it happen, and I'm not sure where they are in their window right now since he's on a Cup contender in Colorado, but that's the type of player that can help change the culture of a club. Can Minnesota do it? They're doing a great job. They have got to get Kaprizov, the Calder Trophy winner. They got to get him signed first. Can Minnesota do it? Can Vegas shuffle some pieces around and make it happen? Can the Rangers do it? You know, I'm looking at some of the better capitalized teams. Could Chicago do it? the LA Kings, you have to look at the Kings because, as I mentioned, they've got the best pool of prospects right now. Their pantry is stuffed with players. So they certainly are in a good position. You know, I'm told that the Leafs back in Toronto are looking at it, but, you know, they're in a difficult cap situation. So Gabriel Landeskog, to me, is a guy that can come in and change a culture. He's not a superstar player, but he's a really good, effective two-way player that plays with jam, that's a consummate professional and a first-class guy. So I do know for a fact a lot of teams are interested, but those are some of the ones that I can kind of foreshadow as being the best possible fits as of now.
I don't know when you can do it, but rest up. It's going to be fast. It's going to be furious. You've given us part of your travel schedule. You're going to be on the broadcast tonight. We're looking forward to all of it. Kevin, thank you very much for sharing more of your time with us here today.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. I appreciate you having me on, and thanks to all the NHL hockey fans. And Dan, if anybody has some ketchup chips, Old Dutch, just shoot them across the border to me. You can send them to the hotel. I'd love a bag.
Do you need any chocolate bars? Do we need to send down
Crispy
like
Crunch?
An arrow?
No. Like that? No, my dad worked at Laura Secord, so I grew up with all the arrow bars and Kit Kat arrow bars, Smarties, and the whole deal. But chips are my vice, so I'm leaning in the chip direction if anybody out there is listening.
I will put you down as a savory man as opposed to a sweet one.
Thank you. Again, thanks for having me on.
And, thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.